I'm coming. Good job, man. You're making that money. I know how much you're making. It ain't much. We'll try to do better. How are you guys? Well, I see some of you that are normally in the last service. Good job not setting your clocks forward. Just want you to know it is 10:20. Some of you that are watching online are normally in this service. But I also think there's something else going on. Thanks to the media, everybody's freaking out about coronavirus. And, let's not take it lightly. I don't want to in any way be disrespectful to the fact that people have died from this worldwide. But I think it's important to understand, first of all, that 6,000 people have passed away in the United States since January 1st from the flu. So you have a lot bigger risk of getting the flu than you ever be at risk of getting coronavirus. If you just take the precautions, we have taken every precaution as a ministry we possibly can, and we are going to try, at least for a few weeks or a month, while this whole, immunization is figured out and how they're going to treat it, we'll try to kind of resist lots of hugging and shaking hands. We'll do the grace fist pump or, the high five, faith high five, I don't know, with our elbows. But we'll try and keep it as safe as possible in this environment because we really do care about you, about your kids. And we also do have people who are immune compromised, who have cancer or fighting other issues, and that's not something that they can be around. And I know a number of them that reached out to me this week and just said, we're not going to be there. We'll be watching online. We're still committed. And you can see it. This is normally a service that is jam-packed wall to wall. And so I'm glad you're watching online. Thank you for watching online. The online viewing on Facebook Live and live stream is not church. It's just a substitution for when you can't be here. And so I just encourage you, man, this ministry is it's a global ministry. And what we do on the weekends is just 1/52nd of what we do throughout the week. And so we need to make sure that all of our volunteers and those who are committed continue with that commitment. Don't live in fear. There's a reason there are 367 verses in the Bible that say fear not. Because that's one verse for every day of the year, and we probably need to read it every day of every year, okay? Don't live in fear. In saying that, take every precaution, listen to the head of the CDC when she was reading her notes at the podium and said, well, it's pretty simple, just don't touch your face. And then she went, next page. Anyways, yeah, it's a lot easier said than done. And so we're going to watch out for you. We have more hand sanitizer here in every corner of the facility. You can bathe in it if you like. Don't take it, though, okay? And just make sure that we're watching out for each other, okay? And as we've been in this series, just 2 weeks, last week and this week, talked last week about the five habits that will absolutely transform your finances in 2020 or get you off on the right foot. Today, I want to close up in really understanding what the principles are. And by the way, we're passing out pens. We've been disinfecting them after every service. And then they'll bring them and pass them out. If you need a pen, they'll come right to your seat. And so the five habits. Now today I want to talk to you about the five principles to becoming your own financial master. Now we know ultimately we're the earthly manager of God's money. He's the master. But it's our responsibility to manage his money well. And there are five words in scripture I'm going to show you in just a moment that really deal with having your priorities and your perspective in check. If you don't learn from these lessons, if you don't write things down and apply it to your life or apply it to your life, however you do that, then it's just a waste of time. It's about applying what you know from God's word to your life because listening means absolutely nothing. If you're just filling your head with knowledge, that is a waste of time, yours and mine. You got to put it into practice. I think about we had our dog Jazz for 14 years, beautiful yellow lab, big guy, just a lovable dog. And we have 2 acres, and so we just have a split rail fence for our when we had horses. And so we put an invisible fence in the ground. Now, if you have an invisible fence, you know what I'm talking about. It goes about 6-8 inches under the ground. You put it about you know, 2 feet back from the fence, and then you train the dog. They wear a shock collar, and you train them for about 3 weeks. We had orange flags all around the yard, and we would put a collar on Jazz, and as you walked him toward the fence, it would go beep, 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 and then zap. So the couple times that you zapped him, it didn't kill him or anything, you know. You know, the few times it hurt him a little bit, then you'd back him off. And then the rest of the time it was like this. Okay, Jazz, here we go. Whoa, 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 and you'd back him up. And after that, he was trained. He never crossed that barrier in 14 and a half years. Why? Because he knew to do so would get him in trouble. Now, I realized later I should have actually done the same thing with my daughter Brooklyn and her friend Abby, because they used to put the collar on and run through the fence. One day I'm just sitting in my window and watching, all of a sudden I see him running, and then all of a sudden they'd be like, ah, and they fall on the ground and start laughing. I'm like, disturbed. But anyways, my child for sure. And so, you know, you can be like that. You can be the person that runs through the electric fence and gets zapped, and you stay in financial bondage like most Americans, or you can get out of it and follow God's plan. And the best way to do that is to realize, first of all, what puts us in financial slavery. Just that word makes you cringe, doesn't it? I mean, to think that we even have that in our history, to think that slavery has been around since the dawn of time. You should not be a slave to any human being. And you should absolutely never be a slave to your own money. You know what makes us slaves? I wanted you to remember this, so I put it in an acrostic with the word want. Financial slavery is the result of four things. And the first is this. You really should write it down. The first is this. You worry about making more money. You need that money, money. And you know, I'm going to make myself happy. No, you're not. But how many of us, and don't raise your hands, but how many of us are living in that situation where we need to make more money? And we think in our minds, if I just made more money, then I'd be happy. If I just made more money, I'd be secure. If I just made more money, I would be, and you fill in the blank. You know what else? I'm always trying to protect what I already have. It's the insurance game. Now, my insurance agent goes here, and I love Scott and his family, and so I'm not saying it. I've been with American Family for 35 years, almost 36. And just a firm believer in the company. But man, I tell you, if you've ever had to make a few claims in a year, you learn very quickly that the $187,000 you paid in premiums doesn't mean squat. Sorry, I know that's crude, but it's true. We had a $2,500 claim and we got our insurance denied. I'm like, wait a second, $187,000 and I just need $2,500? Because I made two claims in 1 year on the same ceiling. We spend our time trying to insure what we have. That's another problem, and it drives that want. And then third, we're never becoming satisfied unless we have more stuff. And frankly, unnecessary stuff. You know, it goes back to the old flea market advertisement. Come to see the overstuff, sell to the understuff so they can get more stuff and become the overstuff. That's true. That's the American way. More stuff. And finally, tirelessly working and missing out on the purpose of life. My mom posted something the other day or yesterday that was powerful. And it basically laid out, if you're the average American and you actually have enough money to retire in your mid-60s and you back out all the time that you sleep, which for many people is a third of their life spent sleeping, then at the end of the day, you have 11 years left to live. I would encourage you start living now, because you have no guarantee that you're going to be alive 20 years from now, 30 years from now, 10 years from now, 10 minutes from now, okay? And so we tirelessly aim for more. Now, that's not a purpose for life. Remember last week I said money is a resource for living, not life itself. Man, as long as you're chasing the money, you're going to be miserable because you'll never have enough. You'll never have enough. You know what? Over the years, I've never chased money. I've always wanted some things, and God has blessed us in some areas I never thought he would over the last 15 years. And I remember always struggling in ministry and in raising four children. But the one thing that stood out to me and the one thing I tried to commit to was the reason I'm on this earth, and it isn't to make money. Luke chapter 6, verse 38, Jesus said this. This is a really powerful verse. Pay attention to this. Give generously, and generous gifts will be given back to you. Stop there. Just may as well circle the whole phrase, because Jesus is saying this. If you're a generous giver, you're going to be a generous receiver. How can you be a generous receiver? Because the one sending you stuff is God. He says, shaken down to make room for more. It's kind of like when you're sifting sand, right? You're sifting it. You're getting down to whatever you're looking for in the sand, the shell. In the same way, God is just saying, sift through that and you'll see the real blessings. Then he says, abundant gifts will pour out upon you with such an overflowing measure that it will run over the top. And then he says, your measurement of generosity becomes the measurement of your return. And some of you are like, oh, that's the worst news I could have heard today, because my generosity is not there. He says that's how he bases the blessings in your life, is on your generosity. I make no bones about this. I'm a fellow giver. Now, you ask this question, do I believe I'm living for much greater purpose than my purchasing power? Because most Americans are not. They're living for purchasing power. That's what they want. Man, if I make more, then I can buy a bigger house. I can buy a nicer car. Now, let me just make this clear real quick. There's nothing wrong with any of that, as long as you're not living for it. That's the difference. Ecclesiastes, written by the richest man, quite possibly the richest man who ever lived, the wisest man other than Jesus, the God man who ever lived, Solomon. And throughout the whole book, he says things like vanity, vanity, all is vanity. Life is worthless. Chasing money, chasing stuff. And he says this, I have seen the burden God has placed on us all. Now that's kind of a woe is me statement. God didn't put these burdens on us. We put these burdens on ourselves. Sin put the burden on us originally. We didn't even have a choice over our depravity. He says, yet God has made everything beautiful in its own time, or for its own time. He has planted, this is huge, circle it, eternity in the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. What does that mean? It means this: you were created for eternity. You are not a temporary being. You are not just around for this period of time. You were created to live forever, somewhere. You're going to live forever somewhere, either with God in heaven or separated from God in hell. Not a popular thing to talk about today, but true nonetheless. And buying heaven is impossible. Being holy enough and being righteous enough on your own is impossible. Being kind enough and giving up all the bad habits, it won't get you one step closer. Salvation is about God's economy. He sends his son to the earth 2,000 years ago because we are bankrupt in sin. He dies on the cross, washing all of our sins away. He rises from the grave 3 days later and says, believe in me and I'll give to you everlasting life. It is a gift from God. He's the most generous giver. So how do we live our lives in sight with God's perspective in view? Well, there are five words, and there are five principles to becoming the master of your own finances. The first is this: motivation. Some of us need to leave here today with a different motivation for going to work. Motivation should be, I'm filled with the joy of the Lord. You're like, you don't know my boss. You don't know the job I do. Listen, you really don't know the job I do either. And I can tell you something. It's not fun sometimes. But I don't do it for anybody but God. And you have to keep that always before you. You know, loving people isn't like, well, I love you, but you're not being nice to me, so I'm not going to love you now. Well, I love you, but you haven't given to me, or you haven't been friendly to me. We don't get that option. As Christians, we are supposed to be unconditional in our love. So I went back to a passage, a powerful passage, one of my favorite passages in the Bible, Philippians 4. But what a lot of people don't know about this powerful passage that says pray and God gives you the peace that passes understanding and you can do all things through Christ, Philippians 4:13, and my God will supply all your needs, verse 19, and be content in whatever situation. But what they don't realize when they're reading it, it's about money, plain and simple. Now think about that. I want to read Philippians 4 real quick. Listen to this, 4-7. Be cheerful with joyous celebration in every financial season of life. That's what he's talking about. Let joy overflow, for you are united with the Anointed One. Let gentleness be seen in every relationship, for our Lord is ever near. Don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Trust me, is that not a financial issue? Don't be pulled in different directions. You know what the greatest enemy to people being involved in ministry today is? Busyness. They're chasing the money. He says, be saturated in prayer throughout each day, offering your faith-filled requests before God with overflowing gratitude. Tell him every detail of your life. Then God's wonderful peace that transcends human understanding will make the answers known to you through Jesus Christ. So guys, if you're not getting your prayers answered, if you don't have clear understanding, check your finances in light of your motive. Is my motivation to bring glory to God? Then when I get up, it doesn't matter how nasty my boss is. I'm working for God. It doesn't matter how tough life is. I'm working for God. It doesn't matter what the other employees are doing. I'm working for God. Jesus actually uses examples. Remember, he spoke about money 15% of his ministry time. And he said this in Matthew 25, 21. He said, there was a rich man and he commended his servant. Because the master replied, you have done well and proven yourself to be loyal and trustworthy. Because you have been a faithful steward, will you circle those two words? And then underline, to manage a small sum. Now I will put you in charge of much, much more. You will experience the delight of your master who will say to you, come celebrate with me. Oh man, we love to quote this verse. Well done, my good and faithful servant. That's where it comes from. But what's he talking about? How I use my money. When I stand before God in heaven, I'm going to be there covered in the righteousness of Jesus. You could trust in Christ today, walk out of this room and never do a thing for him, and you'd still go to heaven because that's how much he loves you and that's how great his grace is. I would hope that's not the case, but many Christians, it is. But when we get to heaven, first thing he's going to ask is, how'd you spend my money? Are there people up here because of you? Are their lives transformed? Marriages that were saved? Children rescued? 1 Timothy 6, Paul writes this, to all the rich people of this world. Let me just say this. Most people go, oh, well, that's not me. I'm not rich. You're an American. You are rich. Let me tell you how rich you are. If you have $10 in a bank account, that's about what I have, $10 in a bank account, you have food for 3 days, and you have a roof over your head tonight, you're wealthier than 6,290,000,000 people. The rest of the world lives on less than $300 a year. I mean, 3.2 billion people. Now, just mind-blowing. $40, $50 a month, $25, $30 a month. He says this, I command you not to be wrapped in thoughts of pride over your prosperity. Or rely on your wealth, for riches are unreliable and nothing compared to the living God. Did the stock market this week not show you that? Apparently you're like, I don't have a portfolio. Well, if you did, it's being incinerated right now. All right, listen to this. Trust instead in the one who has lavished upon us all good things, fulfilling our every need. Remind the wealthy to be rich in good works of extravagant generosity. There it is again, circle it. It's used over and over. Willing to share with others. This will provide a beautiful foundation for their lives and secure them for a great future as they lay their hands upon the meaning of true life. Guys, I have not done everything right financially. I have not made all the best decisions, especially in the early years, 35 years ago in marriage. But we have lived to the best of our ability by God's principles when it comes to generosity, it comes to saving, it comes to living. And I can tell you mind-blowingly that every day I look at what God has allowed me to have and I just feel so blessed and absolutely undeserving. And I'm not wealthy, but I'm living in a way that I live in my mother-in-law's house, but I own it now. You know, I was able to do things that I should never have been able to do. And if you looked at my finances, you say, that's an impossibility. That's what God does for us when our motive is God's glory. And by the way, when it comes to motive, your motives are not determined by how you live when you're poor. They're oftentimes determined by how you live when everything's going well financially. Second is accountability. You need accountability to manage your finances well. That is to think about the heavenly versus the temporary. Let me just ask a quick question, because I've asked it in two services. I'll tell you the results in a moment. How many of you in here, there is somebody other than your spouse or children, other than your immediate family, there is someone that knows everything about your finances? Raise your hand. Okay, there's about 10 of you, 11. That means 16 people in three services so far. My life is an open book. There are six people, and I wouldn't wish this on anybody. I don't frankly like it. But there are six people who know every penny I spend. I'm accountable to them, to this ministry, to outside auditors. I mean, I can't buy a bike or a golf club or anything like that without giving an answer and accountable for it. And some of them are nosy. Like, you have no business. That's mine. But at the end of the day, accountability also keeps you from disaster. We teach Financial Peace University. People like John Putstock and Phil Lankford are extraordinary education pastors. It's starting again April 14th. Man, if you have never taken Financial Peace, do it. It will be the greatest investment of time in your life. But it will bring you back to understanding how important accountability is. Look at Philippians 4:8. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Then he says this, keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me and everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. Oh, God, you said you'd give me peace. Well, let me ask you a few questions. When you go to church or small group, do you walk away with knowledge that you're going to put into practice? That's called wisdom. Because if you're not putting it into practice, don't expect God's peace. Now, let me read this two verses to you again. And I want you to think about it from a financial perspective. And now, dear brothers and sisters, when it comes to your bank account, one final thought. Fix your thoughts in regards to money on what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, and admirable. Think about things that are excellent ways of using your money and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all the financial wisdom you've learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will give you peace in your financial situation, period. That is how you read it contextually. Now, he goes on to say, Jesus said in Matthew 25, we're looking at these parallel passages, after a long time, the master of the servants returned, and what did he do? Settled accounts with them. You're going to give an account. I'm going to give an account. So I would rather have people that I am accountable to now and that I make a mistake or I don't do a good job and I need to shift my priorities, rather than getting to heaven and having Jesus say, you're my son, I love you, you're here because of my grace, but you didn't do anything for my kingdom with your money. Now, the third principle is a word that a lot of us maybe don't even understand. Maybe we don't use it. It's investment. Using my finances to further the gospel and send my riches ahead. You've heard the dorky statement that ministry doesn't pay much, but the benefits are out of this world. That's true of everybody who's a Christian. Your investments are in eternity. Is there going to be anybody in heaven because of you? Oh, let me tell you a secret. I was just downstairs with two guys you're going to see in a moment, two very close friends who are committed to this ministry. And both of them said that what drives them every day and every week in this ministry is seeing people come to Jesus almost every service. We've seen five people come to Christ, and we're just downstairs. Tears are being shed over what God is doing in the ministry. We get to be a part of a ministry. You know what that means? If you give through this ministry, every person who's come to Christ while you've been giving, you have a part in. Now, we are not a church. When we say we're a church, we limit our growth and our impact. We are an international ministry. We have 51 staff globally. We have 52 local and global ministries and churches. We need every member in the ministry to make a commitment to this. Guys, let me just tell you a secret. We live month to month, sometimes day to day in this ministry. We are constantly shuffling finances. Okay, CR is going to have to wait 3 months. We're going to have to do this for youth ministry. We got to help these girls that have been rescued from human trafficking. We're going to go over here and help the homeless. I mean, we are constantly shifting instead of having a budget for every ministry. And so imagine what would happen if you panicked, if the people online panicked and stayed away and stopped giving. You know, if just 30% of our church did that, it would take 3 months to let go of about 25 staff and literally cut our ministries down to the bare minimum. And I know that's not what you want. It's not what I want. And so my challenge this year, and the reason that we're making this a commitment this year, is because every single person that calls Grace home and has a relationship with God should be giving for your own benefit and blessing. And so we've made it simple. Candy and Brittany and Esther have a video they shot with Shay. I want you to hear this. Look how simple it can be.
My name is Esther, and today I'd like to show you some amazing things you can do with the Grace Church mobile app. First, let's look at how to download it. If you don't have the Grace app, go ahead and take out your cell phone. Once you're ready, simply text the words Grace Church CO app to the number 77977. You'll receive a text back almost immediately with a link to download the app from whatever app store your phone uses. Once you have the app, there are tons of things you can do, like catch up on past messages, learn more about our various ministries, get notified of churchwide events, and more. One of the newest things we've launched are our monthly impact cards. You can see the impact card on the home screen of the Grace mobile app, as well as navigate to it by clicking the More tab and then tapping on Impact. There are three categories of impact that you'll see: Goal, Generosity, and New Believers. The goal is what we need each month to keep Grace Church and our over 50 ministries thriving. This goal works towards the practical needs, like electricity and water, but also allows us to bless those in need that come through our doors. Thanks to your faithful giving, the generosity number reflects the amount contributed each month to what God is doing at Grace. Lastly, you'll see the New Believers column. This number is the amount of people whose lives have been changed by the gospel and our adult services on the weekends. Just imagine how high this number is when you include our various other services throughout the week. We want to challenge you to check the impact cards every single month. Be sure to set a reminder on your phone to see what God is doing at Grace and pray for these goals the first week of each month. If you would like to join us in making an impact, both inside and outside the walls of Grace, there are two easy ways for you to give through the Grace Church mobile app. You can text the words "Give Through Grace" to the number 77977 for a direct link to give online. Or you can give easily through our app by tapping on the Give tab. You'll automatically be redirected to our giving platform, where you can easily set up a one-time or recurring gift at the frequency of your choice. I love that you can set up a recurring gift. It's so convenient for my husband and me to give consistently without having to think about it. It's generosity made simple. Just type in the amount you'd like to give, choose the frequency you'd like to give, pick a start date, a giving type, and click Next. If it's your first time giving online, you'll need to set up your payment details and verify your account. Simply follow the prompts to complete your generous act of worship. Thanks for taking the time to download the app, check out our impact cards, and get connected through giving at Grace.
And please do it with Esther's enthusiasm and joy, if you would, all right? You know, I love this. I love being able to do this. My wife and I have been giving through automatic giving for 21 years, and here's the beauty of it. You never have to worry about whether or not you're making God your first priority. I mean, how guilty did I feel paying 90% of my bills through automatic giving and forgetting to give to the church on certain weekends because I wanted control. I got to write a check. Instead, I know God gets it because my investment is in eternity. You know, as a matter of fact, Philippians 4:10, Paul went on to write this, "My heart overflows with joy when I think of how you showed your love to me by your financial support of my ministry." Stop there. Look here, please. You guys bring more joy to me by your generosity than any single church or group of people I've ever been around. You know, I don't like to talk about the fact that, you know, we have a larger percentage that don't give anything. I only mention that because we have so many people coming to Jesus every weekend. That's the last thing that ever happens in their lives, you know, is to give. And that's okay. It's a process to grow and learn. We want you to be blessed by it. But you inspire me. You inspire the staff and the leadership. This is the most generous church in the world. And when I hear certain pastors, well, your budget should be this much, and we're half your size, and we're that. I'm like, good for you. You know what? We're Grace Church. We don't pass an offering plate. We don't guilt people into giving. We do it the way the Bible says to do it hilariously, cheerfully, joyfully, and give it in secret. And this is the best way to do it. He goes on to say, "For even though you have so little, you still continue to help me at every opportunity." You know, I got an email from David Greco, our ambassador through Compassion International. And I had said to you guys that we have sponsored 385 kids and that we had 15 kids or 387. We had 13 kids in Yurimaguas that didn't get sponsored. He just sent me an email. He said, "Rick, I just want to let you know you guys have sponsored 417 children in Yurimaguas, all of those kids plus 17 more, and your church has given over $100,000 extra giving. You guys are amazing. The kids are being impacted in the jungle because of you. $44 a month. You know, Jesus said, "I want you to make your investment eternal." Look at Matthew 25:22. "Then the one who had been entrusted with 2,000 gold coins came in and said, 'See, my master, I've doubled what you have entrusted to me. I've doubled it. I've taken it and I've invested it.'" You know, we talk about Peru, and a lot of you are like, "I'll never go there. I'm praying for you." Great. And you forget sometimes that we have 32 churches, Grace Churches in the Amazon. And our missionary couple, our full-time staff, Doug and Blanca, are in the midst of her battling cancer and them taking care of our property and everything that's happening there. And he sent me a video, and it wasn't, you know, professionally created. He was just showing us our property that we bought back in 1998. We go there every year. That's where our headquarters is, to go up into the Amazon. And it's a jungle city called Yurimaguas. And he took the video. I said, "Oh, Doug, I'm just going to show it to everybody this weekend." So just real quick, take a look at where your investment's going. One of the 32 places in Peru. Look at this.
Hello, this is Doug Usher. I'm here in Yurimaguas. This is the outside of our property, and it's almost time for the market to start here. This wall is a great protector for our property, and let's go inside and see what we have. This is our house that we have here on the property. Nice house. We have a bat problem in the roof. That's one of our goals, is to get that taken care of in the future. This is our garage. You see the wall. Beautiful garden. You'll see the backyard. It's really beautiful. We had a watermelon plant that grew out of this pile of grass. And we harvested about 6 or 7 really beautiful watermelons this year. I sprayed them yesterday, they're about done, so. Here is an old house that is needing to be demolished. The posts are rotted, they're being eaten by bugs, and the building really needs to be redone. So we would like to have this be our future site for our Shawi Training Center. I've spoken with Pastor Jim and Pastor Rick about having this be the Shawi Training Center, and So that is one of our goals for the future, is to have a building put here where we can train the Shawi, and they can stay in the dormitories on the second floor. When we have a team come, they can stay also. So we're excited about that for the future. You can see the beautiful mango tree here and the big wall protecting our property. This little patio here is where we have our training right now for the Shawi guys, the Shawi missionaries. You see the beautiful yard that we have here. And so the Lord's really blessed us with this property. And we're so excited about what the Lord has in store for the future. So we want to say thank you, Grace Church, for making this possible. And we know that the Shawi really appreciate the ministry of Grace Church here in Peru. Thank you.
Just amazing. And, you know, we've owned that house for 22 years. We're still in the vision phase. I mean, $4.4 million has gone to the individual villages to build churches and facilities and medical evacs. We've saved 67 Shawi lives through air evac in 3 years. So, guys, you're making a difference in your churches across the globe, whether you know it or not. And God wants us to invest in eternity. You're going to meet a lot of Shawi indigenous in heaven, your brothers and sisters you never got to meet on earth. They're going to say thank you. The fourth word is management. You got to manage God's money well. And really the best way to manage it is to learn to be content with as much or as little as God chooses to give you. And that really is based on what we just talked about, how you give, how you invest, how you save, and how you live is all determining how God will bless you. As a matter of fact, Philippians chapter 4 goes on to say, and this is a really quotable couple of passages. I love the way the Passion Translation says it. I'm not telling you this. He's not telling them to give to his mission work because I'm in need, for I have learned to be satisfied in any circumstance. I can honestly say this ministry has learned to function over 31 years. Next weekend's our 31st anniversary. 31 years, we have learned to function with very little and sometimes more. And he says, I know what it means to lack, and I know what it means to experience overwhelming abundance. For I am trained in the secret of overcoming all things, whether in fullness or in hunger. And I find that the strength of Christ's explosive power infuses me to conquer every difficulty. That's the verse we know as, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Oh man, athletes love it. People who are, you know, pursuing a goal love that verse. You know what it's talking about? Money. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, whether I'm poor or rich. He says, you've so graciously provided for my essential needs during this season of difficulty. Now I want you to know that the Philippian church was the only church that supported me in the beginning as I went out and preached the gospel. You were the only church that sowed into me financially. And when I was in Thessalonica, you supported me for well over a year. I mention this not because I'm requesting a gift, but so that the fruit of your generosity, everybody look at this, may bring you an abundant reward. I don't want you to be cheated or robbed of what God wants to bring into your life. So manage your finances well. That's why we have so many different ministries, so you can find one where you can serve with your abilities and your gifts and your finances. And then finally, it's about inheritance. So we have management, accountability, and investment, and now we have inheritance. And so inheritance is having all I need now and forever. It's inheriting God's riches, God's grace. Matthew 25, verse 15 says, before he left on his journey, he entrusted a bag of 5,000 gold coins to one of his servants, to another a bag of 2,000 gold coins, and here we go, and to the third a bag of 1,000 gold coins. No socialism there. Each according to his ability to manage. You might want to underline that. Well, Lord, if you just give me more, I'd do more. No, you wouldn't. That's why you don't have more. You don't manage things well. If we don't manage well, God's not going to bless us with more. And if you think, well, if he did bless me with more, then I'd manage it well, you are living in a fantasy land. You don't need more. You need to manage what you have. Then God says, now you're doing it. Now you're following these five principles. Now you have those five habits in place, not perfectly, to the best of your ability. So here's more. He said, I'm blessing you and I'm giving you what you need. So you have more than enough and you're abundantly satisfied. So look at this in Philippians 4:18. I know I have all I need, more than enough. I'm abundantly satisfied, for I've received the gift you sent by Epaphroditus and viewed it as a sweet sacrifice, perfumed with the fragrance of your faithfulness, which is so pleasing to God. I am convinced that God will fully satisfy, circle this, every need you have. For I have seen the abundant riches of glory revealed to me through the Anointed One, Jesus Christ. And God our Father will receive all the glory and the honor throughout the eternity of eternities. Amen. This is not a promise of prosperity. He's not saying, you give me $100, I'll give you $1,000. Those are the kooky preachers on TV. What God is saying is this: as you give, as you're generous, as you follow these plans, you'll have what you need. That is something I can tell you. I have seen so many miracles. I'm going to write a small book on the miracles of money in our lives. It started in the very first year of our marriage when we didn't have any food. Nobody knew we had nothing in the house. And 17 bags of groceries appeared on my back porch at 10 p.m. on 38th and Yates. And it has continued since then. God is so good. And he says, I'll give you what you need when you follow these principles. It's all God's. I'm just taking care of it. My reward's in heaven. And that's why he says, don't keep hoarding things for yourself. Don't store up things on earth. Put them in heaven. Invest in heaven. I want to bring out two guys, good friends who actually demonstrate this principle, these principles in their lives. And they're also got something exciting to share. Would you welcome Johnny Martinez and Jason DeFreya to the stage, please? Bring them out.
Oh, here we go.
Thanks, brother.
No, we're talking.
Johnny's still back there talking.
He's in the back. Oh, yeah. There he is. I know you. How you doing, brother?
Hi, Pastor.
You guys heard Johnny share last week, and, you know, he shared a little bit of his story in 5 minutes. That's not a lot that you can share in five, but you heard a man who's literally gone from rags to riches and how God brought him through a tragic situation. And I'm going to get back to Johnny in a minute, but Jason, tell us a little bit about your story. You know, what led you to grace, what you do for a living, and just kind of where God's brought you in summer.
Yeah, thanks. So I oversee a team of people for a company that does analytical chemistry. And so the machines our customers buy measure liquids and gas and basically tells you what's in the water you're drinking and the food you're eating and all that fun stuff. So I oversee a group of people that train our customers on how to use that equipment.
So you can tell me why I get gas?
I probably
that
could.
That is awesome.
That might take, that's probably a different conversation.
Okay, different concept, yeah. All right.
Yeah, it's a really cool gig. I have a great boss. I have a great team of people.
International,
around the world.
You
I travel
over.
A lot, dealing with this stuff in China with coronavirus.
Oh,
my company kind of looks into some of that stuff. Yeah.
Right.
Keep your distance, yeah. But as far as career goes, I've been doing this type of business for about 23 years with a large team. I've chased careers from to California to New York. I was born and raised here. Thankfully, we're back here now. It's a real blessing. But in that transition from state to state chasing a career, it was really hard to get connected into a church. I've been involved in a lot of different ministries. But
you started a church.
You started a church
at a budding, growing ministry.
Yeah, here in, actually in Broomfield.
Yep.
But with that, it was... it was kind of about me and not about the kingdom through that process. And then as we traveled, it was more about, we weren't real committed, so we were really never giving or pouring into the ministry and serving. And then when we moved back to Colorado about 6 years ago, we were going to a church down south, and my wife, Summer, actually worked with you and Greg Steer a long time ago with Frightmare.
Mid-90s.
Mid-90s. And she'd always talked about grace. And one day, I have three teenage girls, and you don't interrupt scheduling, right?
Yeah.
And so we were driving by the church, and one day I'm like, we're going to go here. We literally pulled off, like, and my girls freak out, and next thing you know, we're here, and we've been coming ever since.
Oh, that's awesome.
Absolutely love it. Now we're getting plugged in and serving, and it's a real blessing.
And you have so much wisdom. I'm going to get back to you with that as far as relaunching our legacy builders. Johnny, I think a lot of times people hear the story last weekend, and they hear a guy that's gone through a tragic accident, some time behind bars, comes out, rehabilitates, starts three businesses that are explosive. Think, well, life's just hunky-dory once you put your trust in Christ. But you guys have been through probably the most difficult loss a person could face, losing your 11-year-old son 9 years ago. Tell us about that.
It's hard for me to talk about two things. One, the loss of my son, and anybody who's lost somebody can understand, a loved one. And also prison, my failures. And for some reason, he loves to put me up there to talk about these two things. And I'm like, come on, can I talk about, you know, anything else? Now he got financing. No, okay. I love to mess around, but I will tell you the truth, okay? God has been amazing to me. I know God loves two things, and that's discipline and obedience. Yeah. My relationship with Christ is amazing. Am I perfect? Far from it. But I love my God, and I love doing what we did. I love seeing what he's doing in my life and my whole family's.
Yeah.
He has cleaned our whole house. We're all saved. We're all going to heaven. Praise God.
Yeah, amen. Amen.
I got to talk about the loss of Elijah. It was the toughest thing I've ever been through. I mean, the Marines, 15 years was tough. All over the world, cool. Right? I loved it. Purpose. Going to prison was very tough because I love my family. Losing them. Yep, I put myself in there. I drove that night. I got into that accident. I took full responsibility. Asked God to come in my life. I met some amazing people from this church who I love that are my family. So those are the things that I've been through. But the truth is God loves us and wants that relationship with us. So have I been through suffering? Absolutely. And money doesn't change that. It's not mine. It's his. And once you understand that, this is how we run our companies. God, I don't want any job that you don't want me on. I only want to do your will. That's what's important to me, is to honor you with everything I have. My love for you, my relationship with my wife, my relationship with my children, and you. You guys are my family.
Man, thank you, brother. You know, as he said that, it just made me think of the fact that you've been this kind of person, you and Lisa, giving and sharing and serving long before success. And that makes all the difference in the world. Jason, we're wanting to really relaunch our Legacy Builders Ministry. And for 2 years, it was on hiatus. Pastor Jim has been sick and out of the office, and we had so much on our plates. And now we sat downstairs. We've been downstairs and over the last 2 months really dreaming about the expansion of outreach in this ministry. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about Legacy Builders, about your passion to really relaunch that ministry.
Well, part of it comes from just seeing a need in the community. I mean, I live in Broomfield. I commute down on Sheridan. I go down to Denver sometimes to Inglewood, and you just see it.
Yeah.
It's just different. There's people in need, whether it's people coming back from the Middle East, battered women, people that just need career help with, you know, getting a job. The needs are endless, right? Yeah. And so the question is, what can we do as a church to look beyond these walls?
Yep.
And there's opportunities all over.
Yeah.
So my vision, I think, you know, we're all aligned on this, is we have to fill that gap.
Yeah.
And that means utilizing the skill set in the church to fill that gap, whether that's what's in our minds or in our wallets.
Yeah.
And there's land around here, right? There's buildings, there's things that we can do, but we have to be good stewards of those opportunities. But at the end of the day, the idea is that as the church, as Christians, as followers of Christ, we have not only an opportunity, but we are kind of commanded to do this. Not kind of, we are.
Yeah.
That we have to fill that gap. So it's our church, it's Grace, it's all of us together as a family filling that gap, filling the void in the community. Because the government's not going to do it.
No.
Clearly, that's not working.
No.
We have to do. This is what we used to do as a church, and I think it's our time to step up and make that difference.
So at 31 years, we're really just starting, getting started again, relaunching this vision, expansion here, the property next door. Johnny, how can people jump in and be a part of the Legacy Builders and give us that final charge?
It starts with getting involved, okay? When I first moved here to Arvada, my buddy Al Behegi went out and got this list, and he had a petition. He had to get enough votes in order for me to move into the city of Arvada, I was told. So thank you, Sharon. I think I passed by one vote. It was because of you. I love you, my family, but get involved. I'm not going to sit here and tell you to charge. I never told my Marines to attack that hill or do this or do that unless I was leading from the front. I'm not going to tell you to get involved. I'm not going to tell you to give your money or your finances if I'm not doing it, and I promise you, God's given his finances from our companies and everything I have personally to help this church. This is our church. So please get involved.
And you've seen it. We're just getting started, man. These guys have great vision for the 3 acres across the street to maybe tear down the lodge and rebuild a new facility. It just takes all of us doing it together.
One thing, please know, I'm not on staff. I am not paid to do this. I do this because I love you. And if you're getting paid, I want to talk to you about it. Okay? I don't know what they got going on, but I'm going to tell you right now. My money's God's money. It's his, okay? I love yous to death, okay? It's not mine. I've never seen a hearse carry a U-Haul.
That's right.
Okay? I can't take it with me. All right? So, hey, listen, if I can help bless others and people come to know Jesus, praise God.
Amen. Give these guys a hand. Thank you both. You know, when Johnny told me how prison ministry, he met Jesus, our Kairos ministry, our faithful group that goes and partners with Kairos and does what they do. That's just one of many, many ministries that are community partnerships on top of all the other ministries. And so, guys, as we wrap up and as we get ready to pray, I want you just to think about this. If you're here or you're watching online and literally have never made the decision to receive the greatest gift of all, we don't want anything from you. This is a family talk that we all need to be involved in giving. That's a command. But if you have never received the greatest gift of all, just remember what I shared a moment ago, and it all is summed up in the greatest verse in all the Bible, John 3:16. For God so loved the world, that's you and me, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. You don't have to live separate from God in hell forever. You don't have to live a life of hell on earth. You don't have to go through this without purpose and floundering. You can come to know Jesus today and watch him transform every area of your life. We want you to receive. You're the reason we do what we do. Let me have you bow your heads and close your eyes for a minute. If you're here, and right now, for the first time, you actually get it. You're like, man, I thought I had to be religious. I've been trying to be the best person. And you realize that none of that gets you any closer to heaven. It's a matter of trust. Then right where you sit, just say this to God silently in your mind. Say, God, I'm a sinner. I've done things wrong. I admit it. And I realize now there's nothing I can do to erase my sin. But I believe that Jesus Christ, God's Son, died on a cross 2,000 years ago and wiped my slate clean of all my past sins, my present sins, and future sins. And I believe he's risen, and I receive the free gift of salvation right now. My friend, you are God's child now forever. You have been born again. You have a purpose. You have the Holy Spirit living in you. And I want to pray for you. I'm not going to have you stand up. I won't have you come forward. But in a moment, I'm going to have you raise your hand and put it right back down. That just lets me know you got it. So if you're saying, today, I receive the free gift of salvation. Today, I believe in Jesus. Would you just slip your hand up and put it right back down? God bless you guys. God bless you guys. God bless you. Praise God. That's why we do what we do. That's why we do it. Father, thank you for these you've called into your kingdom. Thank you for the gift of salvation. Thank you for the transformation. Lord, I pray that right now they would realize that this moment, this day, they've become your child forever. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, before we close, if you trusted in Jesus, we do a little simple thing here. If you just text the word believe to 313131, just text the word believe. Pastor Scott, our family pastor, will call you and just welcome you to the family of God, give you a gift from the church, but you made the greatest decision of your life. You know, we celebrate that. Jason, as we relaunch, give one final challenge to everybody when it comes to what we can do to advance the kingdom.
Yeah, I think the challenge is to get involved, build relationships, get involved with this church. Even if it's a little bit, give something.
Yeah.
And that's what we did. We started out with something. And, and then all of a sudden you wanted to start to do more and more and then get involved. And the best thing about being on the security team is the relationships I've built with the guys.
Yeah, that's
right. Just top-notch people.
Yeah, guys and gals both.
Yeah, guys and gals, team. Thank you.
Yeah, they're awesome.
And, and that just leads to more and more and more. And it, you just got to take that first step. So the challenge that I give to everyone here today is to take that first step of giving.
Yep.
You won't regret it.
That's right. Yeah. God doesn't care about the amount. He cares about the percentage, the attitude, and the sacrifice. Johnny, one last charge, man.
The end of this month, we're going to get together, have a nice little dinner. Please come. Know where your finances are going, because in order to run this thing properly, we've got to know both the commander's intent and also our intent. What do we want to do with God's money?
Yeah.
Come on over. Talk about it. Let's get involved together. It'll be amazing.
Seeing people come to Jesus, man.
This is what all I'm about. And yeah. I got to be honest with you. I cheated. The first time since 2006 I was able to open my eyes. Pastor's not lying. People are getting saved. Yeah, baby. I seen it out there. I seen you raise your hands. It's not that I doubted you, Pastor. It's not that I doubted you. He's love telling
you,
the truth.
Love you. It is awesome. Give these guys a hand. Let's stand and worship and give as you give an act of worship. Good job, Pastor Soul. That was awesome.